Colossians 1:15. I'm going to change all the pronouns into nouns. Christ is the image of the invisible God. Christ is the firstborn of all creation. It is by Christ all things were created. Things in the heavens and on earth. He created visible and invisibles. Whether there be thrones or dominions or rules or authorities, all things have been created through Christ and for Christ. Christ is before everything. And in Him, all things hold together. Christ is the head of the body, which is the church. He is the beginning. Christ is the firstborn from the dead. Why? So that Christ will come to have first place, that is, preeminence in everything. For it was good pleasure. It was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him. And I'd like for you to just take note of this, that it doesn't say what the fullness is. Fullness is a proper noun here. You could start it with an F. For it was the Father's good pleasure. It was good pleasure. We'll read it this way. It was the pleasure of the fullness to dwell in Christ. It was the pleasure of the fullness to dwell in Christ. The fullness had pleasure to dwell in Christ. Whatever there is that is fullness, that fullness was pleased to dwell in Christ. Now, I don't want another word after this that I don't mean. I'm going to ask you to take to heart everything I say. And I'm going to ask you to recast your life in everything that is said here. Because the subject before us here is the first place, the preeminence of Jesus Christ in all things. Now, it was good pleasure of fullness to dwell in Christ. You and I are here to learn just one thing, the preeminence, the centrality. And He is the center, He is the supremacy, and He is the preeminence of all things. Now, that stops everything in the universe. If that's true of the Father who made sure that His Son would have preeminence in everything, that means that it is the intention of the Father that Jesus Christ have first place in you. Now, I don't know how to emphasize that, except this must become the habit of the life of the church and the churches. that first Christ takes preeminence. Christ taking preeminence in the universe also means Christ coming to have preeminence in your life and mine. That means that a people, wherever they go, whatever they do, whatever they face, the first thing they do is it's Christ. You come to Christ and then you work from there out. If you have troubles, you don't start with self. You work with Christ. If the church is the church, whatever she says, whatever she does, she starts with Christ. Sometimes we get a folder in the mail. Sometimes we open a news magazine, a new Christian magazine, and there's this big two-page conference on healing, conference on power, conference on the end, conference on worship, conference starring so-and-so and so-and-so who are going to bring us the Word of God today. I have never heard of a conference on Christ. I never have. Have you ever heard of a conference on Christ? I would like to have a conference, a national conference, maybe $50,000, $100,000 worth of advertisement in which there would be absolutely nothing spoken of but Jesus Christ. And if I were to speak at that, I would bring the message I'm bringing to you here tonight, that Jesus Christ was to become, by the will of God, preeminent and first in everything. Now, that means that Jesus Christ has that the gyroscope of the universe comes this way or this way. It always is centered on Christ. There are those other than us in this room who actually know what Jesus Christ's place is in all things. And when I say all things, I mean all things. What does all things include? It includes all things. There are even creation is clearer about the place of Jesus Christ than we have come to establish it in our day. In fact, this is to bring us back to rekindle the flame. 2 Timothy 1:6, that flame is the flame of Christ in our hearts. Christ first in your problems, in your family, in your life. Christ, your morning. Christ, your everything. We start there and we work from there. It is Christ who is to be first place. Now, where? First place where? First. I need to go through the entire Bible. Number one, it was God's will and his purpose that Christ be first place, preeminent, supreme, central. So the first person involved in any of this is the one who could be living right now in the eternals, and we didn't even have to be in existence. But the Father had pleasure and wished to make his Son first place in everything. So he gave all things to have subjection or second place to Jesus Christ. The first one is the Father. And what I would have to do is go all the way through the New Testament at least to just see what the Father felt about his Son. John 17, John 13, John 1, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Romans, every place we see the Father determined that he have a Son that is first place in everything. Now, that's too much. Just keep it in mind. Perhaps we'll come back someday and we'll just go through the Father's view of Christ as being first. The Father has glorified the Son so that he might have first place. Where and when? All right. Before I go any further, to those of you I'm speaking to now and to those of you who I will never meet, I think it's Ephesians 1:17 that says, it's a prayer of Paul, I pray that you might be given a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And I would like to hear some pages rattle. That you might have come a spirit to come to a full knowledge of Jesus Christ. A revelation, a spirit of wisdom, and a spirit of revelation that you might come to have a knowledge, an experiential knowledge of Jesus Christ. There isn't any way in this world for us to get anywhere without revelation. And the Lord spoke to the Pharisees and said, you search the scriptures, and in them you might have life, but you will not come to me. Now they had scripture, but they did not have Jesus Christ. They lacked revelation. All of us lack revelation. If we have revelation, we have an insight into Christ that goes deeper than the human mind can in reading scripture. There is an ignition deep within you that says, wow, something in you, and suddenly, sometimes in a flash from one end of time and eternity to the other, you now have a revelation. You will never understand the preeminence of Christ, and neither will I, until you and I have a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was in Galatians that Paul said to the Galatians, how did these things come about in your life? And it was, he said, by hearing, by faith. And in Romans, the Lord, Paul said, you have heard, and therefore you have believed. I have something new I want to say to all of you, and I'm taking my stand here. The church will not last without revelation. She'll dry up. And revelation comes by hearing. Now then, just as soon as hearing comes, so does faith. Now, that's strange, but there's no exception to this. First, you have hearing. Hearing gives you revelation. Revelation gives you faith. And we are believers, therefore we cannot believe anything that's worth believing except by revelation. Therefore, tonight I speak to you that you too might hear and thereby receive in revelation and then believe in a spiritual mode that Jesus Christ is preeminent in all things. Say amen. Where is he preeminent? Well, first of all, he's preeminent in all of us as believers if we have revelation. So here we go. Let's have a revelation this week. And what is that revelation? That revelation is Christ, 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 and nothing but Christ. A revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when did his preeminence start? His preeminence started when there was nothing but Christ in the Father, and there wasn't anything else, and there wasn't, and you've heard me say this, somebody, there weren't any molecules, there weren't any angels, there weren't any principalities or powers. The only thing that existed was God the Father with Christ in the Father, and that's all there was, and the Father chose that anything that would happen from that point on, his Son would be preeminent, central, and supreme. Amen, brother. Amen. Now then, what happened next? And the answer is, we don't have any idea. How can we possibly understand that which is before? And before before, how can we possibly understand when there was nothing but God? But we're going to try to take a look at this. I'll probably spend the rest of my life making the next point. If there's nothing but God, then there's not just God and nothing. There is God. And therefore, everything there is all. The saints, get a hold of this, because God likes being all. Now, he may have created, but he never got over being all. And he never will. And he still got it in his heart and in his will and in his very being. He likes being all. And all and all there is him. And in him is Christ. Now then, there is something hidden in God before there is anything, and there is a mystery. So there's God and Christ in God, and there's a mystery. Nobody knows what it is. Nobody even knew. Not only didn't know they didn't know, they had no idea that there was a secret hidden in God. It was not known to angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things visible, nor things invisible. It wasn't known to the Jew. It was not known to anybody until there came the fullness of time. And then a secret that was hidden in God was made known. Put that aside. We'll find out when that happened. Now, what else? He is preeminent in the allness of God. All there is of God, Christ Jesus, our Lord, is the preeminence of that allness. Now we have two very mysterious passages of Scripture. Titus 1, 2, and 2 Timothy 1, 9. Now, try to listen to this. The Greeks can't say eternity. So they say eon upon eons. That's how they say eternity. One age after another age after another age after another age, and that's eternity. But these two scriptures don't say that. There was an age. There was an eon before eons. There was an age before ages. There was a something before there was eternity. Before eternity rolled, there was Christ. In both these passages, you have eon before eons. And in one of them, he says, and these are the rich promises given to us by God even before the foundation of the ages, before anything, these rich promises of Christ are given to us. You and I have a inheritance in an age that was even before eternity rolled. What was going on in the age before the age? Jesus Christ was everything. He was supreme before the face of the Father. He was. Now,
there's a passage in John 17 and in John 13. And this is what it says. The Lord Jesus is about to be crucified, and he said, I want you, Lord, Father, I was with you, and you glorified me, and now I'm going back. I'm going to return where I originated. So let's talk about the originated part. That there was a time before time, there was the Father and the Son, and the glory was there. And you know where the glory is? And it is in Romans 3. The glory is in the face of Christ Jesus. So if you've ever wondered what glory is Christ. Yep. Now, this is before creation. Now, we got some more. There's no one on that stage because there's not a stage. That's the Father and the Son and the Lord Jesus saying, Father, I'm coming back to where I was. And then he says, take care of the ones that have believed in me. I'm returning to the bosom of the Father. Now, we're going to move up just a little bit further, and that is Christ before creation. Christ before creation. Well, wasn't that before creation? No, that was before he was all. That was when he was all. Now we're coming to a time that is before creation. Well, what was there before creation? It's still Christ. But he's done some things that you and I don't know anything about until right now. And that is, there's still that mystery that is working in him. Somebody just take Romans 16, 22, if you will, please. 25, excuse me. And maybe you would be kind enough to read this to me in just a minute while I talk. Let me have a brother with a nice, strong voice who already has the Bible open. And Romans 8, 28, and also Romans 16, 25, and 26. Have we got somebody? I'll just...
25.
Yeah.
Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which has been kept secret for long ages past.
And go ahead to the next verse. Or is it?
Good. But now is manifested, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the eternal God, has been made known to all the nations, leading to the obedience of faith. To the only wise God, who Jesus Christ, be the glory forever.
All right. Thank you, brother. And what was the other one? Someone has it. What? All right. What is it?
And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the call according to his purpose. You going?
Thank you.
And he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his soul, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
All right, praise the Lord.
there is something that happened before creation. And that is that you were foreknown, you were elected, you were called, chosen, and justified. All of this happens before there is anything. And this is something that happens in Christ. What is the center of this choosing? It is Christ. In fact, it's not only that Christ is preeminent in the choosing. If you can understand my words, what happens in the choosing is Christ. And I'm not talking about the activity of the choice. I mean the content of the one who is doing the choosing. He and his content and his choosing are all one and the same. What is going on at this time in him is pure. There is no sin. There is nothing but him. And the choice that is made is Christ himself. For we have become the very righteousness of God the Father. He established in us before that we might not have, but that we might be his very righteousness. And he has made unto us wisdom. And out of that wisdom has come sanctification and redemption that is yours before the foundation of the earth. Now I'm going to ask you a question. By the way, I'm going to give you a hint. If I ever ask a question, 9 times out of 10, the answer is Christ. Amen. Are you redeemed? Not exactly. You are redemption. You are, and it has been given to you in Christ to be redemption. Now, what are you sanctified?
Praise the Lord.
No, no, you're not sanctified. You are sanctification. And this happened before the creation. So we have been given we have been given wisdom, out of which comes our sanctification and our redemption. All this before. Quickly. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of Christ, by our God the Father, you are in Christ. Go ahead.
Who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption.
Good enough, brother. And he has made us sanctification and redemption. What's the other one? What's the third one?
Righteousness.
And righteousness. You don't have righteousness. You are righteousness. Now, saints, this is why Jesus Christ must become preeminent in all our lives. If he is central, there is wisdom. He has given unto us wisdom. Out of that wisdom has come righteousness, redemption, and sanctification. Not exactly. He has made us in Christ sanctification, redemption, and righteousness. Well, say amen. This is the preeminent position of Jesus Christ in all things. God has made us in Christ redemption, righteousness, and sanctification. All. We walk around in him before the foundations of the world in a state of being that which is sanctification and redemption and righteousness. And that will
not change with creation. It's stuck out there, running forever.
Now do you understand what else this means?
This means, but for the foundations of the world, Christ became your everything.
And he's going to stay from that point in redemption, before creation, forget redemption, before creation, he is your everything. And when it spreads, it will just keep on continuing to be his being all to you, and you being all to him. Awesome. Amen, brother.
117, Colossians 117 has become the image of God. Now, is it possible for the Father himself to show us himself visible? The answer is no. God is spirit. So can the Holy Spirit make himself physically visible to us? And the answer is no. Two members of the Holy Trinity can't do that, because by their very nature, they are invisible. What about the third? Before creation, he became the very first one who would show forth physically God. There is only one, only one. He is not only preeminent here in this, but he is more than preeminent. He is solo. He is the only one who can show us the Lord. If you want to see the Father, you know where to look. If you want to understand who the Holy Spirit is, who has come to us as believers, you look to Christ. He has become the image of the invisible God. He is also the firstborn of creation. Creation hasn't gotten here yet, but listen very carefully. Creation is just about to start. In fact, creation is referred to as a birth. Creation is about to be born. And who will have first place in creation? The very first thing that is seen before angels, principalities, atoms, molecules, or anything else, the first thing that will emerge out of creation will be Jesus Christ. He has first place in the creation that he's about to create. He is the firstborn of creation. And let me tell you something else, he will be and maybe even then was. That's Edwardian, that he was the first from the dead. No, but nobody's died yet, Gene. Don't be too sure. A slain from the foundations of the world. And he is the first to come out of death. I am very, very pleased to know that my relationship to my Father and to my Lord Jesus Christ is so close that when I hear that he is now the one who came out of the dead, I can know that I will one day also come out of the dead, right? No.
You're already
no. No. Because wherever it was that he came out of that, it's the very same place I was put before the foundations of creation, that I have been given in Christ redemption, sanctification, and righteousness. That is, that are already mine. So if he, wherever it was he died, I died with him. And the difference between his coming out of the dead and my coming out of the dead and your coming out of the dead is the blink of an eye. For that he might have preeminence in all things, including you, in life and in death.
Wow.
Now, are we, amen, are we ready to look at creation? All right. Not exactly. Here's an interesting scripture. Yes. Oh, okay. It's in a strange place. And it's in Revelation. And it's in Revelation 3:14. Anybody can tell me what 3:14 is about? Real quickly.
It's about Laodicea.
It's about Laodicea. You know, the one he's going to spew out of his mouth. Yeah. And he speaks, I am the beginning. That's what he says. I who is the beginning. And you've often heard me say, he didn't say I'm going to be the Alpha, and he didn't say I'm going to be the Omega, but he is at the same time Alpha and Omega. So he's the beginning and the end at the same time. So this is the declaration of a revelation that is given to us in the book of Revelation, that Jesus Christ is the beginning of creation. It is not that he was at the beginning of creation. It is that he is the beginning of creation. He is the firstborn of creation, and he is the beginning of creation. And all creation woke up, turned around, and looked, and there was the Son of the living God. And then the angels came, and Job said, and came there and rejoiced in what they saw when there they were born. And they sang in the very midst of that creation. There he is, your Lord and mine. Your Lord and mine. Take a real good look at him. He is preeminent in everything. Christ, preeminent in everything. Adam, good name. Fits right now. Adam, I believe you have been shorted on Revelation. So we're going to send some brothers to rekindle in you a revelation. And out of that revelation will come an understanding by hearing what they have to say, and out of that you will believe. Right now, we're receiving a little bit of a revelation of Jesus Christ by hearing. Hearing, revelation, believing. Hearing, revelation, believing. To come and remind you of whom the Lord Jesus Christ is. And brother, when you wake up in the morning, who is preeminent? I'm going to tell you, I don't know, but I tell you who will be. Many years ago, a brother said to me, I just want to lock myself in a room and get alone with the Lord and study the scriptures so that I can be worthy to speak. And I just told you what's in the heart of every one of you. Every one of you like to get alone with the Lord and spend time with him and spend time with the scripture. It is not necessary.
Wow. Praise the Lord.
It is not necessary. But there are some things that are necessary, and that is that he becomes first place all day long and all afternoon and all evening. And I'm going to tell you something, saints, that is a stronger life than being cloistered in a room by yourself.
Hallelujah.
It is.
It's true.
And I think that every one of us feel that we're not quite, we're ashamed. We don't have enough of the Lord. I'm not worthy of being one who brings the hearing. Well, perhaps, brother, none of us are. My heavenly days, none of us are. But brother, there is something you can do. And that is, you can be absolutely determined that he gets the first moments of your mind every morning, and that you never back up from that. That he gets your spare time in the car. That you sneak in some scripture and you turn that scripture into Christ. We're all busy. We are all busy. And yes, it would be marvelous if we would all have a way of getting together and alone with the Lord and do exactly what the monk did. And so the monk spent 16 hours a day praying. Anybody remember? 12, 15? You know who I'm talking about. You just do. Did he ever tell you how many hours a day he spent alone praying? Well, it was a minimum of 12. And yet, you know something? Forgive me. Revelation of him, or you will be spending time alone, wasting your time. The presence of God is not the ultimate end. It is Christ in you as the preeminent one of your life. And that, yes, we pray. Yes, we try to spend time with him. And we fight for that time. But, saints, time is time. And Christ is Christ. And he's always there. The trick, the way, is to make him alive to you. And we will not leave this building. If we live and breathe, we will not leave this building until we have made his preeminence, his first place, his supremacy, his centrality, a practical matter in all our lives. That is a promise. I want you to listen to this. I'm in verse 15. Lord Jesus, I've seen the Father. Because you made him visible. Lord Jesus, you're the author of creation. All things were created in you. Whether it be things we can see or not see, they're inside of you. You have pocketed the entire creation. Lord, I am inside of you right now. But I'm above the dominions and the rules and the powers. I'm above the invisibles and the visibles. For I am in you before any of these. Oh, Lord, you came before everything. Nothing was created unless you created it. Nothing exists unless you brought it into being. And now you're making sure it all adheres together. And now you have a body. Or I'm part of that body. Well, Lord, I'm not part of that body by theory either. You were beginning and I was there. You're the firstborn from the dead and I'm second. And Lord Jesus, you would have first place in absolutely everything. Lord, I'm pleased to dwell in you. I don't know what fullness means, but I'm so happy that fullness was happy. And I will have no pleasure except Jesus Christ be my preeminence. I don't know what fullness is, but I will tell you this, Father. Your son has it in him, and I'm part of whatever fullness is. Amen. Now we're going to do it again, and I'm going to ask you to do this because we're going to do this and make it practical. I am the image of your God. I created you, and you are in me. All things were created by me and in me. Go to the heavens, it belongs inside of me. Go to the earth, where you stand, and it's inside of me. I have given you all the blessings that are in the other realms, and those that are on this earth too. For all things were created by me, for me, in me, to me, through me, and out of me, for my good pleasure. And you are what I have chosen to be my inheritance. I am first. Whether you choose to make me first is immaterial. I'm first anyway. You can go with me or you can go against me, but I'll always be first. And it will never work out if I'm ever anything but first. First in your mind, first in your faith, first in your heart, first in your problems, first in your loneliness. First in your joy, first in your sorrow, first in the church, first in you. I'm first. Now express me with the other members that the world might still see me, the image of the invisible God. be pleased to live inside of me as first. Know that the Father is pleased that I am first. That fullness was delighted to live in me. All the riches of divinity have made their home in me. I am first place in your life. Amen.